Okay. Romans 3. As we said, we'll try to get through down to verse 31. We'll try to finish up that chapter today. And again, excuse the nasal. So I'm going to read 25, then we'll pray and get started. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. I'll just read 26. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for preserving these things for our enlightenment, for our edification. We pray for the open hearts and minds of each member of your body today, that we might receive it and that it might work effectually in us that believe. We just thank you again as we go forward for recording these things that pertain to your son's death, burial, and resurrection. And we just thank you for this time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, we've been out several weeks, so I'm just hoping that some of these things have been sticking. And as you read, as you have been reading, that some of these things are coming back into your mind as a refresher. But we're getting out of three, and this is the, in my estimation, my small estimation, the pivotal point in Romans, and not just Romans. The doctrine of the propitiation of Christ is the focal point, not just in Romans, but I think for in God's program, because through that satisfying sacrifice, God is able to do all. I think I'll use that acronym of grace, where I've heard preachers say that God's riches at Christ's expense. And I think I might have heard this from Karen, but that grace is all that God is able to do for you through Christ. And the propitiation, the doctrine of the propitiation, and like it's to me, that symbolizes or encapsulates what all the things that God is able to do because of that satisfying sacrifice, because of Christ's satisfying sacrifice. That's why he calls it the mercy seat and the propitiation, as the root of it is that which is that makes God well pleased. He's well pleased with the death of his son. Not that he died, but with the accomplishments that come afterward. Yes? That's why Paul says, but now the righteousness of God without your help is made manifest. Verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith, faithfulness of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That is, he's able to set you free, to release you from a debt And that is you being a slave to sin and deserving to pay that payment. He's freed you from that predicament. Which, if we talk about these things, is that's all related to you and his purpose for you. That is, he's able now to deliver you from what you notice in chapters 1, 2, 3, he proves the guiltiness and the way that man lost the image of God. That is, they no longer worshipped and served him, but they turned to their own minds and they began to worship and serve the creature more than the creator. And they deserved the wages of sin. They had to do that. You know why they had to do that? Sorry. You know why the man was, he had to turn to himself or his own works.
Why he had to?
That's all he relied on, because they were all made in the image of Adam. They didn't have what it.
So it was a genetic disposition.
It was. They were all under. That's what the scripture says. Under sin. That's what it means. That you're in bondage to it, and the wages of sin is still death. And it's also a separation. So when Adam sins, he goes out from the presence of God, out from the glory of God. So all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That is not just being in his presence, but also being a participant with what he's doing intimately. That's consistent with being his son. Okay. So you see in Romans 1, 2, 3, this is on all men. This is before he even picks out a Jew or picks out a Hebrew to make the Jews.
Right.
So whatever God does, if he extends his hand in grace and picks a man, even if he picks a man, what is he working with?
Fallen.
He's still working with the man who's in bondage. He's just given him a responsibility and a privilege by his grace to be a worker with him. But God is not shocked when he falls down on the job, Louise. It's not a matter of if he will, Johnny, it's how far can he go before he does. Mm-hmm. You're right? Mm-hmm. So that's why he picks out a man from these men in Romans 1, and he gives this man his job description. We'll call it, we'll say the law. He gives these people a law, the Jews. He gives them a law. And he says, that's what I want you to do. Now, how long can he do it before he fails?
He can't even do it.
He doesn't know that. But he'll give it an honest try. Maybe. By the works of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of who you are. By the law is the knowledge of your weakness. So whatever, right, your shortcomings, longcomings, they are not.
Because
it's so many ways. It's so many ways that you can't do it.
Right.
You can't just pick one, like Lay's potato chip. You can't just eat one. You can't just pick one of your shortcomings. It's a lot of them. That's why he says, God says, I'll just sum it up for you. Because if I start to dictate every area where I need you to be on the same page with me, you couldn't handle it. So I'll give you the 10 as a table of contents, encapsulated, and
syllabus,
a spiritual syllabus, and see if you can work with that one.
Yeah.
Number one.
Oh. Thanks.
So if you take a test, and well, we talked about this some weeks ago, if you apply for a job and you see the number one qualification is I need someone highly qualified, master's, doctorate, PhD, and you just got a GED. Should I keep going, Blake? Should I?
Oh, yes.
Should I think that they can make an exception?
Go on to the next job.
They can make an exception because I want the job so badly?
Bachelor.
Of course not. They won't even look at it that long. So when God gives the law, it's that no flesh will be justified in his sight. That all would know that they are not qualified for what?
To be what he needs them to be.
What does he need them to be? Right. And for the Jews, it's a kingdom of priests. Well, we're still coming up. So you see, even with their shortcomings as they go along, it's still not clear. But when Paul comes, he says, But now I can tell you something that nobody else knew. I can give you the secret to get that job with no education.
All ears.
All ears, right. But now the righteousness of God without the performance is made known. It should be a line out the door for that, shouldn't it? If you would think if they really wanted the job. But now the righteousness of God without the law is being manifest, being witnessed by even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. That is his performance. Unto all and upon all them that believe, there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. I was going to show you his death, but you know what that is. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, mercy seat, through faith in his blood, that he might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare through faith to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. He has set forth his blood and his righteousness to be a propitiation, that he satisfied with it, that he might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. For the forgiveness of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. You say, what are you doing? The life that he lived was the life that was satisfying to the Father. You know that over and over, right?
Right.
But he still is delivered to death. Not for himself, but he that was rich
became poor.
Became poor.
That through his poverty we might become rich.
Oh, that through his poverty we might be what? Now he's not talking about money. What is he? How? Rich how?
Righteousness.
Right. Rich in your spiritual capacity, in that sense. He set him forth to be a propitiation, the mercy seat, through faith in his blood, for the remission of sins that are passed, through the forbearance of God. And we, from verse 26, to declare, I say, at this time, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Now, we noticed that from previous lessons, I'm not going to go back and get in too much into that, but you notice the things that are, when we talked about the things that were in the ark, do you remember what?
The
pot of manna,
Aaron's
rod, and the law. Those were all symbols
of rebellion.
They were not just they disobeyed him in the manna. You recall that, right? But the manna was a provision for them.
Yes.
So it was not just something that they deserve to die for their rebellion. God had also given it to them
to equip them.
To what?
To equip them.
To live for their life. Aaron's rod that budded, the rebels, he said, you deserve to die. Put it up as a testimony against the rebels. But it was also the man that symbolized the man that was to lead them, to deliver them, to sustain them.
It just hit me. Does that have anything to do with the branch titles of Christ?
Somebody said that weeks ago.
I don't know if there's a correlation.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. And the law, the law that was given for life, Galatians said, the man that doeth them shall what? But the law worketh, it's a ministry of condemnation, Corinthians said. Well, that which was life is made death unto me. You see that all these things, the only way the ark, well, that's another thing, the ark itself, we looked at it. It was not just a deliverance for Moses. It wasn't his grave, was it? It was a preservative. Just like Noah, we talked about how the propitiation related to baptism. Noah was in the ark. He was delivered. from the wrath of God. What could have been a vehicle, what delivered him from the vehicle of death, was the ark. What delivered Moses was the ark. Joseph is in a coffin. He's dead, but he's still... Huh?
And his bones were
buried. He's looking forward to the resurrection.
He's looking forward. So, notice, the ark is not the mercy seat. The mercy seat is on top of the ark. So the only way, follow this, that any of these things could happen, where you could be delivered from death or given life, is by the mercy seat. By whom God has set forth that he might be just. Listen, all sin has to be dealt with.
Sure.
No matter what age or dispensation. God has not, he didn't just forget about it.
Right. Or he would be an unjust God. He would have no integrity.
But, like Louise said weeks ago, well, what about the rest of the stuff? He has to be fair to give you life also. If you don't deserve it, he has to have a means by which he can impart life unto those that deserve death and still be fair. How does he do that? He does it through his son, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. To declare his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of, is unto all. But
upon all
that what? For there is
no difference.
Huh?
No difference.
You know how there's no difference?
Because all have sinned. All are half.
There's no difference. For the same God is rich unto all that call upon him. And the only way you access that deliverance
is through faith. That was the downfall in the garden, and that's what it's always been about. That's why it's the wisdom of God.
It's always about what?
God's truth.
Well, it's always about faith, Sheila.
Yes.
Skill. Highly trained professional. It's faith. It's all access. We're okay? Lithic?
No.
Oh, okay. It's to be accessed by faith. Faith is the propitiation is the, it's the grounds by which God is able to do all that he is able to do, that he wants to do. And as it relates to his program, which is to, what's his goal?
Restore the image.
Yes. Yeah, that reconciliation, to reconcile to himself and the instruments involved in it.
Repossessed by dispossessing the enemy.
There you go. So you have to be equipped. And the only way that you get that is by... Oh, one other thing before we leave the propitiation doctrine is this. In Scripture, it's also this called a chest.
the ark?
Huh? Yeah. Anybody have a device?
Yeah.
Okay.
With
the chest? Yeah. I believe it's in Chronicles, where it says this. They put a hole in the top of the chest. And they put the money inside the chest. And I think it said that they did that until there was an abundance.
Second Chronicles 24.
Thank you, sir. 2 Chronicles 24. Okay.
Two different versions of the same.
All right. Let's look at verse 8. Verse 7. For the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman, had broken up the house of God, 2 Chronicles 24, 7. I know it takes a little longer. Second Chronicles, is that a book?
Yeah.
For the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman, had broken up the house of God, and also all the dedicated things of the house of the Lord did they bestow upon Balaam. And at the king's commandment, they made a chest and set it without at the gate of the house of the Lord. And they made a proclamation that through Judah and Jerusalem, to bring in to the Lord the collection that Moses, the servant of God, laid upon Israel in the wilderness. And all the princes and all the people rejoiced and brought in and cast into the chest until they had made an end. Until they had made an end. Now it came to pass that at that time the chest was brought unto the king's office by the hand of the Levites. And when they saw that there was much money, the king's scribe and the priest's officer came and emptied the chest and took it and carried it to his place again. Thus they did day by day and gathered money in abundance. You said, so what? I don't get it. That's what that... The chest is you ever heard of thesaurus or thesaurus, however you want to say it? That's where it's a gathering. In our English language, it's a gathering of what?
Words.
Of words. In that passage, it was a gathering of money. In God's vocabulary, the ark or the chest is a gathering of spiritual wealth in abundance. So Paul would say this, in him, in Christ, are all the treasures
of wisdom and knowledge.
Of what?
Wisdom and knowledge.
Are in him. Do you remember that in Colossians?
Yep.
That all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in him. We just looked at it. He who was rich
and poor.
If he was in the form of God, how spiritually wealthy was he?
He had everything.
That's why he said, being in the form of God, thought it not
robbery to be equal with God.
He didn't think it was dipping into the chest to take out something that didn't belong to him. He was what?
God.
But he humbled himself and
took on human flesh.
Now, when he says that you might be rich, How rich did he make you?
Well, we're an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. So what's his is mine, and what's mine is his.
So he giveth us, when he says he giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That's now in that passage is even the little extras. But see the things that we want to be. Remember when Paul talked to the Corinthians, he says, you're reigning as kings. And I wish you were, that we could reign with you. But they didn't know.
They didn't know the wealth that they had.
Right. You know, I don't know there's a guy in one of the other classes, and you know, most believers, Johnny, they think that they're blessed and highly favored. When I say that, that's they like they have a special relationship with God, just them.
God has a hedge around me in my family.
And I told him, I said, as long as you, I told him, Louise, as long as you think you're special to God, you'll never know how special you are to God.
Because you're all up in your flesh.
Because you're what?
All up in your flesh.
Listen. That what he did for you, he did for them. What he did for you, he did for me. The blessings that are of this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us
with all spiritual blessings and heavenly blessings.
With some.
With all.
Most of them.
All.
The majority of them.
All.
The ones you need. Or the ones you like.
All.
With all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. The ones that attend on a regular basis, those who get it.
This is according to what your definition of spiritual blessings is.
That's, and he goes, this is where information is key.
And wasn't that the whole problem with the Corinthians? They were uneducated, they were carnal about the things that were available to them.
Yes, and that's why they can get caught up in little things where. That's why the Corinthians were overemphasizing tongues and not the prophecy gifts. The educational gifts, they were caught up in the entertaining gifts.
Johnny, bottles of money shine.
But like you said, Johnny, the key is when you get down to the words, is you're going to say, well, who was all? And then you're going to say, well, what are the spiritual blessings? That's why he takes, you notice in Paul's epistles, every one of them, he always talks about you getting something in your mind. Spiritual understanding. That's why you have the doctrine. That you might know, the Corinthians, that you might know the things that are freely given to you of God. They had all the material items, the Corinthians. They were not appreciative of the spiritual blessings that they had. The spiritual position that they had, they fell down in that understanding. And that's why Paul would say, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren. And as my pastor would say, that's the largest denomination now is the ignorant brethren. Yes. I'm sure he didn't make that up, but it's true, right?
And it's growing day by day.
And the doors of the church are open, right, for the ignorant brethren. That's, but that's not saying that in the kind is right. It's, so that's how God is able to do what He's able to do, because through the mercy seat, Christ is key. If it wasn't for His sacrificial propitiatory work, God would not be able to freely give you the things that you need to be equipped. And He would not be able to expiate or completely remove your sin. He would not be able to
use you,
right. He would not be able to remove
you,
your sin, and He would not be able to impute your righteousness. Oh, you know what? I would say He would not be able to not impute your sin, and He would not be able to impute His righteousness. But He is now just, and He is now the justifier. He can do that. How? How?
Because He's the propitiation.
Because He's the Son. Because of the propitiation of His Son. That's why He says, set Him forth. I set Him forth. That's the answer. Because you go through Romans and you're thinking, what a mess. How do we get out of this? How do we get out of this? Now, you and I would still be thinking of a way to get it done. We'd still be thinking, like, but He says the answer is His Son. I have the answer. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. Verse 26, to declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now that's by what law? The principle is when you go through Romans 4, 3, 4, Galatians, the whole book of Galatians, you realize a principle that the law is not of faith. But the man that doeth them shall live in them. Who is that man?
Christ.
Anybody else? Anybody?
There are none righteous.
Somebody? Nobody. That's why He says to the Galatians that don't you hear the law?
Bewitched you.
Mm-hmm. So whether it's Sabbath day,
tithing.
Don't you hear the law? It's not optional.
Yeah.
Don't you hear the law?
Don't you hear all and don't you know that you can't do it?
The law.
Because if you follow a failing one, you follow.
If a man offend in one point, he is guilty of all. It's like a Jenga. You know the game you pull the little tab out?
Yep, it all comes out.
By the law is the knowledge of sin. The law was not written for a righteous man. Man, but the lawless and the disobedient. And if there be any other thing contrary, the law of faith is not the law. Paul just laid it out. He says, where is the boasting then? Where is boasting? It is excluded. You can narrow it down. The qualifications. This one? No. You get right down to it and you say, well, you're not just not qualified, you have none of the qualifications. Next candidate, please.
Yeah.
It's excluded by what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, after you've done all the estimating and the comparisons and the contrasting, therefore you can conclude that a man is justified by what? Without your help. Without the deeds of the law.
And that's not just a suggestion. That's an emphatic.
That's exactly. You know, there's I work inside the plant, and there's a worker there who has some time on the job, but highly negligent. And it amazes others
that he's still there.
that he's still on the job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And wants more money. But if you took the performance and put it against the requirements, they would be fired.
Somebody
liked
them.
I was going to say, is there some nepotism?
Somebody what?
Likes them.
Somebody likes them. And somebody.
Or there's some nepotism.
Or some nepotism.
Favoritism
or nepotism.
Do you hear what you're saying?
Yes.
Favoritism. Nepotism. There's something going on, Louise, that somebody likes them enough to overlook their.
Therefore, that person's not
God.
Just.
Because we're in the family and he loves us. If we believe and he's overlooking all our faults. Yep.
Now.
Somebody up at the top is extending.
Don't. You can't go to your manager and say, I want more money. I feel like I'm doing a great job. And all they have to do is put out the list of your mistakes. And say, not only do you not deserve a raise, you should not even be with the company anymore. Ephesians 2 says, and you, who were dead in trespasses and sins, hath he quickened together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Does any man?
It's a gift of God.
Not of works, lest
any man should boast.
It's a
gift
of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm going to finish that. Let me look at that. It's something in there that I want.
In Ephesians?
Yes. Something extra. But God who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And I will say this, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through, you see how that's connected?
Mm-hmm.
Is if it wasn't for through Christ Jesus, you get no spiritual blessings. And
I was just studying on this yesterday in Titus.
Okay.
Chapter 2, verse 14. He gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a people of his own.
A peculiar people.
Peculiar people, which means exclusive ownership.
That's it.
It's one's own property belonging to a person and to him only. Singular, peculiar, special, and then I add to that exclusive.
Neither here nor there, but I was just thinking that all of the denominations, whatever, doctrines, whatever, is a failure to agree on the terms. What are the terms? What is faith?
Yeah.
What is faith? What are spiritual blessings? What is it to be spiritual? You know?
Right.
It's the terms. Because when you're talking to somebody about this, they'll say, well, you know, faith is not just, a belief. It's faith is demonstrating your belief. You know, so what he's saying is faith is works too. Because it proves your faith.
That's okay.
I saw a sticker the other day at the doctor's office, and some lady had patience with God is faith.
What?
Patience with God. Why are you gonna
be? Maybe it meant waiting on God, but that's some truth in that, and the verses following explains that. Watch this. Verse. What Johnny said is, we do have to make sure that our terminology is scripture terminology, and the words that we define, we have to make sure that the way we define them is the way that God defines them, not the institution.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the moment you take that definition over scripture definition, then it's a left turn that is going to get you off truth.
Yeah.
And that's true in anything in our world. Redefining words has led to a lot of issues, not just here.
Right. That's true. But 27 is the, where is boasting then? It is excluded by what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Now, he's setting forth two principles. It's a law principle, and then there's a faith principle. See, what Johnny said, this. They say that faith
is demonstrated by the law.
Is demonstrated by your performance. Now, watch.
Which is what James says.
That, right. But this is the principle. Is this. There's a principle of works. There's, or the law, and there's a law, or the principle of faith. God has already showed you that by works you are not accepted.
In fact, the way I read this here, when it says, "Whereas boasting and it's excluded," that tells me that it's mutually excluded.
Whereas boasting is excluded. By what principle? By the principle of the law?
No.
No, it's excluded by the principle of faith. Well, wait a minute. We can conclude then that a man is justified by faith without the law. How do you conclude that a man is justified by faith without the law? Because he's tried it up until this point. That's why Paul says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest." 28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by what? By faith without the deeds of the law.
And he's not just saying that as if that's just one of several options. It's the only option.
That's listen, there's no man ever that has been justified with, that's what he, in, without faith, is the just, you saw it in Romans, the just shall live by faith.
Christ, when he did the law, he was still
faithful. That's he. I do nothing but what
I see.
My Father says. I come to fulfill His work. My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me. Is that your meat? Okay. I come in the volume of the book to do Thy will.
Okay.
It is written of me. Is that written of you? No? No. Okay. Me either. It's excluded by what law? The righteousness that Israel seeketh for, but they didn't attain it. Well, why didn't they obtain it? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the... So, wait a minute. The Gentiles who sought not after faith have attained unto faith? Even the righteousness of God? How did they get it? Not by that.
By faith.
By what?
By faith. By hearing. Just like Rahab, we heard. We heard.
So you're telling me the guys who had the list couldn't get it, but the ones that didn't have the list got it? You go into work and you say, "That guy didn't go to college. How'd you get this job?"
By faith.
That's bad. No, don't you try that. Somebody deemed him qualified. And it wasn't because of his education or his performance. You know why you saved?
Because somebody says that we're qualified.
Because
even though you really aren't
qualified. Even though you really weren't, won't be, unless he does it.
And he will qualify you.
But before that?
The difference between law and faith
again. We still going. Now, verse 29. Just, I'm kind of squeezing it here. Is he the God of the Jews only? That's a question mark. Is he not also of the Gentiles? That's a question mark. Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Common denominator?
Faith.
Do we make void the law through faith?
No.
God forbid, yea, we establish the law. Now, again, keep in mind the propitiation of Christ is the key to the whole passage. Is there something that when Christ offers himself, it's for sin and because of sin. It's because of your shortcomings. That he might take the consequences and the constrainer of sin away from you and I. That is, you can't do the works. Okay? It is one God of the Jews and the Gentiles. The Gentiles did not have a law. The Gentiles did not have a list to go by. The Jews did. Faith in the law for them was they would attempt it. But in the law, God had a sacrifice system set up for what?
Sin.
For their failure. Didn't he?
Yeah.
Already set up. And in that sacrifice system was a lamb that was sacrificed on the
altar.
Yeah, it's already showing you that it's a type. So when Paul said this, for the law, when we were under the law, you did what was required in the law. I'm paraphrasing this. Because we were shut up unto the faith that should afterwards come. The faith that should afterwards come is the fact that you don't have to do this anymore. There's a little booklet that a guy, a friend of mine in Michigan wrote, is how faith works when you don't. How faith works when you don't. It's a good title, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
How does faith work when you don't?
Always there.
Okay. Could the Jew at the time say, well, I'll tell you what, I know God wants us to offer the sacrifice for sin, but he knows how I feel about it.
Nope.
Just let it go. What do you think would happen? What do you think would happen?
Death.
Okay. Why did he have to do it? Why did he have to do the law?
Because that was his expression of faith.
So through that act, you know what it is. Through that act, he shows, I believe you, God. Okay. The Gentile, on the other hand, that's not his requirement.
Different covenant.
Do you notice when you go through the Gospels, you see, we'll have to pick it up again because this, when you go through the Gospels, you notice that where, I'll tell you what, Luke 12. I'm sorry. 17. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers. Right? There met him 10 men that were lepers. And when he saw that, I'm sorry, 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priest." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. He was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered, said, "Where were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that, I'm sorry, there are not found that return to give, where are the 9 that are not found that return to give glory unto God save this stranger?" Now, okay. Also, there's another story too that we won't turn to, where the scribe or the Pharisee, a man was going on a journey and he fell among thieves. And they robbed him and left him for dead. And he goes, the priest comes through the city and they see him, and he walks the other way. And then when the Samaritan comes by,
he ministers to
him. And he says, he gives the man 2 pence, and he says, "If anything go over this, take care of him, and I'll take care of you when I get back."
Bless him, Israel.
See, that's not the lesson, though. The lesson is this. Do you see the numbers?
Yeah.
1 came back. 10. Samaritan. 10 tribes that left God. You say, so what? That's the number. That's the number. That's whatever. That's the number. So the reason I said that is because this. They when you say they sought it not by faith, but as it were, the works of the law, the object is faith would have led, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us
to Christ,
that we might be justified by faith. Where, I think there's a passage in this that says that about the works of the law, and the Lord said this. He says, "That which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination with God," because they were talking about how well they kept the law. And he said, "You are they which seek to be justified by men, but that which is highly esteemed by man is an abomination with God." Is this, if God says you need to do this for acceptance, if you believe God, guess what you would do? You would build the ark or offer the sacrifice or whatever the requirement was. If God says today that I want you to do nothing but trust
what my son did on your behalf.
In the finished work of Christ, and you are complete in him. Faith would do what?
Rest in that.
Faith would do nothing but trust, right? That's how faith works.
When you don't.
Now, I didn't say once you're justified by faith, don't work. That's what I didn't say. That's what people think you say.
Right.
You are justified by faith, period. Now, that doesn't mean you go home and sit down. And you can.
It doesn't stop there.
And you can sit down justified by faith,
right,
without works. Sanctification and service is a different issue. But what they do is group it together. When people tend to group it together and say, you can't be saved if you're not working. Really? Watch me.
Yeah, sure.
And just because you're working does not mean you're saved. It doesn't matter how much time, how many doors you knock on, how many conferences you run. Works is not faith. Israel offered sacrifices, and he said they have not attained unto the righteousness of God. Why didn't they get it? Because it didn't work?
They saw it not.
No, the law works. That's right. Romans 9. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained unto the righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed, after the law of righteousness. What does that mean? They followed after the law of righteousness.
I did it, but
just went through the motions with the law.
Yeah.
They tried it. They tried to go to church every Sunday. They tried to go to Bible class every week. They tried to pay the tithes. They tried to get the water baptism. Right? But they have not attained unto the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after righteousness of the law, have not attained to the law of righteousness. What is the attainment of the law? Ooh, this is good. What is the attainment of the law? In other words,
the understanding the objective of it.
What? Yes. What is the objective of the law?
To show that you can't do it, that you need God.
The righteousness of the law, what is the attainment of the law? The law, if you could do it, was designed to establish the righteousness of God in you, which is, it would have made you into the image of his son, which would have, right, which would have, part of this being transformed to the image of his son, would have given you the attribute of the most important attribute of all. Watch this. 32, wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now, he's going to tell you in the next verse what the righteousness of God is. We know already because we've went through what? Chapter 3. Even the righteousness of God, which is by
faith
of unto and upon that work. Strive. Try. Believe.
Well, even the Lord said to Peter, when he said, "Thou art the Christ," they had to believe that he was the Christ. That's where they're at.
The only issue is what?
Christ.
Well, watch this. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For, he's going to explain to you the righteousness of God. For Christ is the
end
of the law for what?
For righteousness.
For righteousness to everyone that what?
Believeth.
He says, Paul says, do you want the righteousness of God?
Yes.
He says, Christ is the what?
The end of the law.
He's the end of your performance to get it. That is, you have to go through your performance to get to his performance. When I say go through it, you have to, as Paul said in Romans 3, you have to exclude it. You have to exclude your righteousness to get to his righteousness. You have to get over yourself. Thank you. Yes. You have to get over yourself. That's why Paul says in Philippians 3 that I don't want to be found in him with my own, but I want to know him. I'm over myself, Paul says in 3. I like that. He says, I'm over myself. I wasn't always. Are you over yourself? Are you over yourself yet?
That was the iniquity that was found in Lucifer.
But now, he says, I'm over. You know what? You have a bad relationship. Can't function properly. And say, I'm over him. Fresh new outlook. Paul says, I'm over this. I'm over my works. And all I want to know is what he did. Here's the question, Johnny. This is an issue that most church believers have an issue is they haven't got over themselves yet.
Even the grace.
They don't know him. They say they love him. We say we love him. Don't we, Louise? Why I love the Lord. What did he do for you? Oh. See my new car? That's not the standard of love.
They make him in their own image.
The understanding is not complete. So he said, Christ is the end of the law. That is, Romans 13 says this. That Romans 13. I can't even quote the verse. And then we'll stop. This is going over. Owe no man, 13:8, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled
the law.
He that loveth another hath what? He that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying. Namely, thou shalt what?
Love
thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. What the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, Christ came for sin and for sinful flesh. See, the reason why it's all about you is because that process of transforming you to the image of his son hadn't taken effect yet. And that can't happen until you're justified. Because until you're justified, until you're justified, you cannot.
You're not equipped.
Have the Spirit. You cannot get the Spirit, which equips you. I know I said the last one. One more. Mark 12. This is just to cap it off. Okay. 12:28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" Mark 12. And Jesus answered, 12:29. And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments." Wait, the first of all commandments is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord," what? "With all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, all thy strength." This is the what? First commandment is what? Love God. First commandment. First commandment. That's the first commandment. The second one, he said this, and the second is like, namely, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." There's none other greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, "Well, Master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he had answered discreetly, he said unto him, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." And no man after that durst ask him any questions. So, I was thinking about how we got to this from faith. When Johnny asks us the faith, finish this up, is the commandment, the law, is to transform. It was initially the righteousness of God could have been reached by that if you can do it. But it would have ended up transforming you. When he tells you those two great commandments, it would have ended up you doing whatever he wanted you to do, wherever or to whomever. However, you wouldn't even be the issue. That's why in that passage, Just before that, he talks about the angels. Okay, Romans, back to Romans 3, where the principle of faith is, that's the way God has always required it. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So the Gentiles, whether they had written law or not, they still have to believe. The Jew, even though they had the written guideline, they still didn't do it because, as Hebrews said, the word was not mixed with faith that was received among them. It wasn't mixed with faith. Here's something important that we should always remember is this. In that passage in Hebrews 4, he goes on to say that the word of God is quick
and powerful and stronger than any two-edged sword. Alive.
What?
Alive.
What?
Alive. It's alive.
If you receive it and it's not mixed with faith, it's not going to impart life. That's why she said it earlier. Who do men say I am? They were there, Peter. Who do men say I am? Some say this, some say Elias, some say one of the prophets.
You said.
Who do you? And he said, flesh and blood has not
revealed this to you, but my Father.
That's it. The reason why you can keep working when God says don't work is you're missing something, like you said, Johnny, in the word that you're hearing. You don't understand what took place. It's all doctrine. If you don't understand the doctrine that's being given, you have to make a left. And it only depends after that is how far you go after you make that left turn. Is how far you got to get back. In any area. When I say any area is whether if you miss the doctrine of an employee, it just depends on how far you go left before you steal from the company, embezzle from the company. If you miss the doctrine of what it is to be an aged woman for your daughter and granddaughter, it just depends on how far you go left. That you give bad advice. Or if you make a left turn as a husband, it just depends on how far you go left before you get back. I was watching a movie yesterday, and we're going to stop. The guy says, we're going to this place, and I thought I'd take the scenic route, take a shortcut. We're driving 150 miles, and they're like, we should be there by now. Where are we? Well, I don't know. I don't see any signs. And so, well, maybe we should turn around. No, we're close. We're close. The movie went off. He was dead. Obviously, when you get in those kind of movies, it's always bad. He never got back on the right road when they ran into some killer out there, and he got killed because he wouldn't
get over himself.
He wouldn't get over himself and turn around and go back.
Get right. I can't get right.
Listen, he didn't have a map. He didn't have a map.
Good.
So he kept driving. And that whatsoever is not of faith
So nobody is nobody's obeying the First Amendment.
Nobody can.
Why you ask me that? I'm just. Why you ask me about
that? The reason why I ask you about that is because when you just use that example, and so like I was talking about agreeing on terms, what terms really mean, what words mean. Okay, so what is love? See what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes. You know what? Last one, promise. Colossians. Yes. See, this is a big. This is the issue. This is a big issue. Paul said this in Colossians. Put on, therefore, as elect of God.
Where are you?
Colossians 3:12. Put on, therefore, as elect of God, holy beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on, which is the bond of I'm going to say this, of the law.
No.
No, listen to me. Which is the bond of the law. Yes. The end of the law is what?
Charity out of pure heart.
Ah. Which some, okay.
Taking the left turn.
Works is that's what is designed. The doctrine is designed to produce in us love, charity, to be charitable, which is the characteristic of being transformed to the image of His Son, it quickly gets you over yourself. That's what the doctrine does. That's why when you see a man, when it's all about him, you know that he missed the doctrine. When you're in a situation and it's about you, you know that you're missing something in the doctrine. A guy asked me this at work last week. He says, something happened on the job. And he said, he was at the gas station and the lady was supposed to give him charge him 50 cents for this item, and she took 50% off. And he said, you heard the manager, he said, charge me 50 cents. You took 50 cents off. And she said, it was only 30 cents difference. He said, that's not the point. He said, I started to go there. You know, this is a saved guy. He said, I started to go there, to go in on her. You know what that means? Okay.
Get all up in a group.
And I said, over 60 cents?
I
know. He said, no, it's the
pride.
It's the principle.
It's the pride.
So I said, you know what? I understand.
He wanted
to break. So I put that on a piece of paper. And I... Yes. So I put that on a piece of paper, Johnny, and I gave it to him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the time we spend in it. We just pray that it's been fruitful and has accomplished the desire that you would have in us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.